We should clean this up. When are we going to sanitize our podcast?
I should check to see if what happens if you Google futile podcast. Maybe it comes right up.
I have.
And it comes right up?
Some do. You know, there is another futile podcast also.
I think I saw a YouTube clip once of a couple of like Australian kids. Anyway, we're the original, the OG futile podcast because the futile title blog has existed since 2004, I think. October of 2004. So we've been around for a while.
My God.
Yeah. Ain't no messing around.
That's when I was living in that crappy apartment.
Yeah, back when I was playing in my brother's band. Playing bass and keyboards.
That's right.
Taking higher. Over the top. And speaking of over the top, we just watched a little film that was co-written by Sylvester Stallone. It's a Canon Group Golden Globus, a 1980s classic directed by Mihanam Golan. I don't know what that person's name was. Something like Mihanam.
I didn't pay any attention.
It was Mihanam or something Golan. So one of the Golan Globus people themselves just thought that this piece of material was worth specifically them directing it. As such, they went ahead and did it. And the film's called Over the Top, and it runs in at probably like 83 minutes or something. It's the length of like a 1980s anime movie or something. It's kind of short, but it's quick. It's to the point. We got Robert Loggia playing the grandpa of Michael, played by a little wiener kid who cries and whines throughout the whole entire movie. And Sly is his estranged truck-driving daddy.
Yeah, they never really explain that too well.
No, they don't.
So I think we should talk about Susan Blakely. She's had an illustrious career.
So this movie felt like a made-for-TV movie because it was short like a made-for-TV movie. It had the also-starring, the credits felt very made-for-TV. And then Susan Blakely, who played Christina, the mother figure, who's dying of heart disease in this movie and just dies inexplicably. Because no one had real diseases in the 80s. They always had these sort of like... And Forrest Gump, which I know is not an 80s movie... was the last time they did this, where rather than admitting that somebody like had a disease from something they did, or just that fucking cancer happens. They gave them some kind of a, like, innocuous sort of, like, heart problem that kills them. You know, Jenny died from that. When, you know, Jenny was a slut, and she probably died from, like...
Jenny died of AIDS.
Complications from AIDS. Yeah, that was the implication, but they never made it clear. Basically, the plot of Over the Top is that Sly shows up at this kid's graduation for summer break or whatever from military school where he goes, and he's going to take him home to LA or whatever, like a 2 to 3 day trip. And it's his mom that set this up such that the son could learn about his estranged dad, because the mom knows she's going to probably die from her heart disease or whatever. In the process, the kid cries and whines, and Stallone inexplicably kind of turns him over pretty quickly, teaches him some things about life. He teaches him, you know, you can't go halfway with life. You got to go over the top. No one's going to do it for you. You got to take what you want. Then when he gets to LA, the kid cries about how Sylvester Stallone took too long to get him there because his mom's dead. So he cries, "My mommy's dead." And then Robert Loggia, who plays his grandfather, who cuts this weird complex where, like, you know, he wants it to be his son.
And snuff films. Yeah. Don't forget about snuff films.
Well, I kind of wrote that part in myself when I was bored with the movie. So... Sly wants to talk to him. So he drives the truck through the gate. And all the police end up showing up real quick because they were over dealing with, what's his name?
Victor Maitland.
Victor Maitland's house.
Capricorn.
Who's Capricorn. And Sly gets put away for a bit, but then he decides just to sign off. He sells his soul to Robert Loggia and says, "You know what? I won't fight custody. You just pay my bail and, you know, drop the charges or whatever and let me go and I'll leave. I'll go to Nevada. I'll go to Las Vegas to the Over the Top annual festivals for arm wrestling." And then they do it, and then it's just arm wrestling movie. It's basically a made-for-TV movie about an estranged family trying to come together with the pretense of arm wrestling being a life lesson thing about how you can't go halfway. Because in arm wrestling, you can't go halfway.
You have to swallow.
You have to go over the top. Exactly. You liked the part where the...
I really didn't like any of it.
I liked the part where they broke the fourth wall, sort of, and they all of a sudden did these, like, interview segments with the arm wrestlers. Most of which...
Some of that was kind of funny.
Felt real.
It did feel real, and I think... Well, we discussed that earlier. Obviously, those must have been really real professional arm wrestlers.
They seem like the authentic real...
It's like they got professional bowling. Why not arm wrestling?
Well, like the one guy said, you know... Truck driving, arm breaking, and arm wrestling. That's all he's good at. That's all he needs to be good at.
And handlebar.
Yeah, he didn't fuck around. He had a handlebar mustache, second only maybe to mine, my own, when I did have one. Anywho, Stallone goes over the top. He wins the truck. He wins a new rig, and he wins money. And he wins back the love of his son, Mikey.
And Robert Loggia looks like he's...
He gets it now.
He gets it. He has his moment. They teased us with a freeze frame and then moved on.
Needlessly. So that then they can just show him, like, get in the new rig and drive off. And show a couple more scenes of rig driving.
And the half turn.
Uh-huh. And then play, di-di-din, over the top. So, as arm wrestling movies go, I have to give this 5 stars. From the arm wrestling moviness of it all?
I'm sure there's been a better... No, fucking The Fly.
The Fly did have one of my favorite arm wrestling, where the guy's...
His leg...
His radius and ulna got ripped out of his own wrist. It was very Cronenberg, what can I say? Cronenberg directs arm wrestling like no other. Better than Golan, what can I say? He just does. But I gotta watch out. I know I can do... I can bring the handlebars, and I can bring the arm wrestling, I know that... But
you gotta shave your head, and you gotta do the little stubby cigar.
Well, yeah, but genetically?
And you gotta drink motor oil.
Valvoline, yeah.
Valvoline?
My big problem is that I don't think I could stop. Because my grandpa, he broke his humerus arm wrestling. He got a metal plate put in his arm from arm wrestling. Which scares me always because like I know in the back of my head this stuff skips a generation. And I'm like, I'd take on something bigger than I could chew. And I would probably break my arm. And that scares me.
Well, I was going to say there's probably... How old was he? Was it like some sort of bone loss thing?
Oh, no, not when he was a grandpa. This happened to him years ago. This happened to him when he was like, you know, in his 30s or something. You know?
Well, some people start losing bone density young and life.
No, he's a tough guy.
Well, it has nothing to do with being tough.
I know, he didn't get any other broken bones is what I'm saying. He's not the kind of guy that's had like a fake hip since he was 45 or anything like that. No, he broke... He was arm wrestling a guy named Moose. I shit you not. Broke his humerus.
Well, that sucks.
So, he got a plate in it. No, it seems fine. Whatever. You know? I mean, he's in his late 80s now. Or mid-80s now, so it's no big deal. But that's just... That to me is just... Not only is that really awesome, but that's kind of frightening to me. Because that means, like... I don't know where my personal top is... But I know I could go over it. I just don't know if I could survive going over it.
So you're saying you're exclusively a top?
I'm saying that I have no idea what would happen if I were to go over my top.
Wow.
Sure amusing yourself? Do you think the audience is enjoying this part? Or no,
I
just you?
I don't really give a fuck. But I was thinking about the combination, like a hybrid movie.
Uh-huh.
8mm.
Mm-hmm.
Over the top.
Yeah, that's what I was doing when I was rewriting it in my head.
And it worked. I was just waiting for Nick Cage to pop out somewhere.
Well, remember what Arnold said? Or not Arnold.
And wasn't James Gandolfini? Wasn't he in that?
Yes. He got beat to death. He got pistol whipped by the Rage Cage.
By the Rage Cage.
But remember in Over the Top, Slides talks about the hat and the importance of the hat. As it being like, you know, he takes the hat and he flips it backwards. It's like a switch. And then he becomes like a truck.
Like a machine.
Like a machine. Like the machine, maybe.
The machine?
From 8mm.
Oh, was that the guy? The last time I saw 8mm was like...
The machine.
99.
At the end, he goes after the machine. The guy with the mask.
I was going to say it before. That must have been right on the edge. Because after Jimmy Gandolf, the Feeny.
He did The Mexican after that.
Oh, he did? I was going to say, it seemed like after The Sopranos hit big, that's all he did.
He did that. He did The Last Castle after Sopranos. That was the one with Redford, where Redford had to reprise his role as the righteous prisoner.
From what?
From that one where he was the undercover warden.
I guess I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Big handful of subtext.
Do you remember the Parallax View? Was that Warren Beatty?
That was Warren Beatty.
That was Warren Beatty. Some of those movies, like, back in the late 60s and 70s, I get mixed up.
Well, it was a tough time for you, I think.
I think it was, too. A lot of acid flashbacks.
A lot of tryings.
Nom.
And Nom. It's awesome. I love the Delta Force.
Do any of them have Billy Drago in them?
No, Delta Force 2 has Billy Drago in it. Delta Force 2, the Colombian Connection? Are you fucking kidding me? Billy Drago gets dropped out of a chopper that's like at 50,000 feet. The chopper.
I remember that.
It's like at 50,000 feet.
And wasn't there like the general?
Uh-huh.
The like just very cliche-looking general?
There's like a five-star general hanging out in the chopper with Chuck Norris. He's like, always the hard way.
Oh, wow.
He replaced Lee Marvin from the first one because I think Lee had RIP'd.
When was the big red one?
That was like 81.
81.
Anyway, I feel like we've kind of let Over the Top fall by the wayside, and that's a crime.
There wasn't really much to say. I honestly hadn't seen it since I was about 10 years old.
But it's worth seeing on DVD for no other reason than as soon as you put it...
Not really.
As soon as you put it in...
If somebody gets it for free...
I'm going to override that. As soon as you put it in... And pop it on, and it goes to that menu, and the music's going, and you got that shot of Sly with the arm and the giant and the hawk, because his name's Hawk and his figurehead is Hawk, is a hawk, which is kind of like in Last Exile where they had the Hurricane Hawk with his figurehead, and there's the truck and everything. There's also a shot of the truck, like, in the cover art, the poster art, the truck's, like, hitting, like, a car. It makes it look like there's, like, a derby or some kind of demolition or a car chase in it. And there is for a little bit, but it's pretty meek. The car chase is kind of weak-ass.
Yeah, the whole movie was weak.
The kid's acting was weak. David Mendelsohn.
Robert Loggia really... He had a moment. He had a moment on the stairs. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it just wasn't...
Yeah, Robert Loggia is not Robert Loggia unless he's yelling things, you know? Like, then wake him! Or you like porno, right? Get your dick hard!
I need to watch Lost Highway again one of these days.
Oh, definitely.
I think the last time I saw it was with you.
And you fell asleep.
And I fell asleep.
That movie was weird. I enjoy it. Gary Busey's in it too. God.
That.
And Arquette, not Patricia, not Rosanna. This is a respected, sophisticated podcast where we talk intensely about the subtext of films and the subtext of Over the Top. It's really a father-son road picture. It's about
right, and that movie's been done a million times. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Not before this, 87. Before you got Dutch with Al Bundy,
right? And that I thought that was a halfway decent movie.
That was a good movie. I like the fireworks scene. That's a different sort of thing because he's the stepdad trying. He's not even a stepdad. He's like the boyfriend of the mom to the kid or something, right? It seemed like there was a third person in that. Like, it was Dutch and his friend that went to go bring the kid back or something.
No, it's just Dutch.
And his pinky ring. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of general analysis of the film, I would say
Sly's... You're going to break it down?
Sly's about what he usually does. Mm. Kind of tries to play it calm. There's ridiculous shit in it, though. Honestly, the fact that they made the kid 12... He doesn't read as 12. He actually, the actor playing him, wasn't, we calculated it, he was like 14 or 15 years old. That would have made more sense, and it would have been more acceptable to see Sly, like, put him behind the wheel and, like, give him, like, sort of a driving lesson. But that becomes ridiculous, too, when the kid ends up driving himself to the airport to go to Vegas to find Sly. I mean, I don't know. I'm wondering if this movie is the kind of movie that had stuff cut from it that would have made it better, or if it was just honestly... Like, what was there, you know? Like, in the 80s, they're trying to capitalize on every new novelty, and arm wrestling got big in the 80s, I guess. Maybe. Did it? Because professional wrestling was big, maybe?
You know, this movie did... It kind of made me think a little bit like a really, really awful version of Color of Money.
Which was the sequel to Hustler.
No, just the scene at the end, except for his Las Vegas instead of... The story, they have nothing in common, except for what you're talking about. Just somebody sitting around, it's like, well, we did the poker movie, and we did the pool movie. What about arm wrestling? Yes, we'll center a movie around an arm wrestling tournament in Las Vegas. Okay.
Even though, that's the thing, is I don't understand why they felt that they needed to do this whole father-son road trip stuff. They honestly could have just, if they'd done it right... They could have just done a movie that was about, like, a big arm wrestling tournament.
It was probably originally a really cool Sam Elliott kicking down doors, the Swayze man beating up corrupt villains and all
warlords,
kinds of crazy
local,
shit.
Local warlords.
Warlords.
But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest lack of fault to Over the Top is that it's not super long. It doesn't kill an afternoon to watch it. It's only, like, 85 minutes long.
Though, you know what's funny is that they edited this for, like, TV. They'd probably just cram, like, a bazillion commercials into it.
Yeah, they'd make it take 2 hours and it would fill, you know, so it would fit. Yeah, it would have room for about 40 minutes. It really honestly feels like a TV movie. It's very weird like that.
It really does, the way the acts are structured and...
Yeah.
It's really a horribly awful movie.
Not that great of a movie, but you own it on DVD now forever.
I paid like $1 for it
in perpetuity. $1, wow. Yeah, I'd have to give it. I'm thinking 1.5.
I was gonna give it a 1.
Wow. God, oof.
And one. That 1's just because Robert Loggia is in it.
Wow.
And the handlebar dude.
Handlebar dude was cool. The actual tournament was fun to watch.
The tournament was fun. It was very over the top.
Yeah.
80s.
It made me want, I mean, just with the tournament footage and this footage of the interviews, it made me actually just rather want to watch like a documentary about a arm wrestling tournament.
Where spandex.
They, like, where they talked about like the lifestyles of each of the guys that did it. Like, you know, how many of them were truck driving guys and how many of them were like, man, I don't know, like longshoremen or who knows, you know, what kind of people are the kinds of people that would come to, and I'm sure there is an actual documentary. I'm sure I can go look one up. But even in terms of a movie, it would have been a more entertaining movie if it had been based on the arm wrestling tournament and like different characters, different, a whole cast of rapscallion arm wrestlers getting into mischief. And, you know, you could still even have the shoehorn kid and his father bullshit with, Sly. They could have made that part work. I mean, they could have fit it in, they could have compressed it or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, over the top. I would say that the acting in it fit the title, but the expectations did not.
Stallone was really bad that way. Even like, you know, and I really
he had
liked...
it in the face though. You really could tell he was struggling to beat Motor City Madman, crazy truck driving, arm breaking guy.
Wow.
He was like,
ugh. He did that before. In fact, this movie really made me think, and it was right around the same time, really made me think of Cobra Eddie. And
Cobra Eddie didn't do a lot of whining, did he?
He did a lot of, that kind of
I just remember him saying, like, drop it.
I thought you did a podcast, though.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't remember the whining part of the movie. Coberti whining a lot.
No, because there was the same thing with the knife at the end with the fight.
There was.
And it was like an arm wrestling
with him and the guy from the X-Files.
Right, right.
And then he hooked him.
He
got him hooked on a hook.
The bounty hunter.
Yes.
Right, then the hook with the flames, which really made absolutely no sense.
It made as much sense as it needed to.
Yeah.